We Talk Podcast presents What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Jolt Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, this week, One Fall invades Toronto.
Yay!
So it's going to be a wonderful time for us, for everyone here at We Talk Podcast. The boys from We Talk Podcast, I'm sure they'll be giving you the updates that they do. But we will be live from Toronto, and we will have a live podcast of NXT Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw. And if anything interesting happens during the day, maybe we'll start off with like a little diary beforehand.
Possibly, but I have my doubts.
Yeah. So
there's going to be so much going on.
And we will not be going to the Jericho thing, Jim Ross, any of that. We're strictly doing shows. We may be going to the NXT after party, though.
If we can get it. There's a whole gamut of things that depends on. But that'd be really cool to see, because, I mean, it's gonna be a lot of, you know, fun things that are going to be happening down in Toronto. Like, WWE and One Fall's taking over for the next 3-4 days, so it's going to be fun.
But first, let's talk about something that continues to dominate, and that is the gift of Conor McGregor. Beating Eddie Alvarez, not only beating him, but destroying Eddie Alvarez. Eddie never had a chance. Eddie's saying that he changed his game plan. Maybe he did. I don't think it would have mattered. Conor dominated, and now Joel, making history, 2 championships belts in 2 different weight classes.
He's made history. It's massive. This is something we've never seen before, so this is all new, and it's all like, how did this happen? How did Conor has all the confidence in the world, and he calls things. He is confident enough that in his mind, he sees how things will realistically play out. He doesn't just go, well, this is how it's going to be, and it happens. He sees it in his head, realistically, and he goes out and he delivers. This is a guy that lost to Nate Diaz. There was a lot of drama there. There was a lot of really weird stuff with Conor talking about retirement. We talked about that in a podcast, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, that was one of the lengthier podcasts we had.
Yeah. And now he's a 2 different weight class champion, and he has shown that he is probably one of the most dominant fighters in UFC history. And not only that, but his promo skill, his height, it is so good, because it makes you either want to root for him and cheer for him, this arrogant man, or you want to see him get his head kicked in and can't wait to see him lose. But either way, you're paying money to watch Conor McGregor fight. The next Conor McGregor fight is going to be massive. And if Conor McGregor decides to do that, if there's always those rumors of Conor McGregor versus GSP, if that happens, that's going to crack the $2 million buy rate. That's going to be massive for Dana White and UFC. Massive.
Yeah, and now the interesting thing is, now Conor says he wants to take a little bit of a break. So now it's kind of interesting to see what they do with these titles. Do you have an interim championship for the other title, or do you just kind of wait it out now? Because one of these belts is not going to get defended every so often. How do you handle this? Because this is not like the WWE, TNA, whatever, where you can't just be like, oh, this belt gets defended every week. It's one of those belts may not be defended for 8 months.
It's going to be very interesting, because it kind of, well, the one thing, Connor's sliced through divisions. His original division, he sliced through. So maybe it's good that they can kind of rebuild that back up and see if Connor can knock them all down again. But it's definitely going to be tricky. It's going to be very interesting. They're not going to be able to convince Connor to relinquish a title. There's no possible way. That man, with his Vincent Kennedy McMahon walk, will hold both titles with a death grip.
And I don't know if you want to let him go, because, let's be honest, if Ronda loses this fight, Ronda's probably done.
Yeah.
And she already said she has a handful of fights left, so maybe she wins this and then maybe does the Holly Holm fight or one of the fights. And by the way, other MMA news, Misha Tate had retired over the weekend. I personally don't think that will stick. I never got your opinion on that really quickly, if you think that will stick or not with Misha Tate. She's only 30 years old.
I think it was smart. I think it will stick. I think it's smart. You've gone out, you've done everything you've wanted to do, and now it's just a matter of you kind of ride off into the sunset. So I think this is the perfect time for her to retire. She still has her health intact, which is key for her. And now she gets to move on and do whatever else she wants to do in life. So, good on her.
I kind of thought it was just kind of in the moment, but you could be right as well.
It's a wait-and-see game. Never say never in UFC and WWE. So.
But going back to my point, so Ronda, if she loses this fight, could be out. If not, maybe she'll do the Holly Holm fight. Maybe she'll do another Misha Tate fight. Who knows? So Connor is by far the biggest star in the world. Okay. And then that makes us transition to this week's story, which is the talk of the dream fight, of all dream fights, which is Floyd Mayweather with his 49-0 record against Conor McGregor. And it kind of started with Mayweather kind of shooting the first shots when he said, "I'm a legend, I'm a living legend to the sport of boxing. I gave years and years of hard work. It was blood, sweat, and tears. I had a tremendous team, and I had a tremendous run." And then more or less just said, "I think that it's time Conor McGregor go out there and do what he do, but I never want to be compared to Conor McGregor." McGregor won and then said that. So first Floyd was kind of humble. And then McGregor said, "Floyd doesn't want to fight me." And then the jabs went back and forth. More or less, it came down to Conor saying he would do it for $100
million. I'm not shocked, but like the jabs, both these guys have a bit of like to talk. I can say it here. I think Conor would beat Floyd.
I think so, too. The question now is, too, so this wouldn't be a mixed martial arts fight because Mayweather's just not trained in that.
No.
He's trained as far as a boxer goes, so this would be a boxing match, I would assume. I still think Mayweather would win. The question is, though, what domain do you go in? You can still do a straight-up boxing thing under the UFC banner. Maybe you'll do it in the octagon, maybe you can do it in a ring. I don't know. The dynamic of how you do this and what banner it's under and contracts and all that is a very interesting thing.
The biggest thing that you have to think about is the sports commission. Where you're going to have
yes.
this. They have a boxing license. There's a lot of legality with all of this that you can't just go, "Well, today we're going to throw in a boxing match, guys." I think that this would be a massive draw.
This would break pay-per-view records.
Oh, yeah. Because this would be massive to see. Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. I mean, say what you will, but McGregor would come in and be the biggest babyface in that.
Well, number one, he didn't beat up his wife.
Yeah.
And he's been with his wife before he was famous.
Yeah. And there are people that, as much as you hate McGregor, there are people that despise Floyd Mayweather.
Well, Floyd Mayweather, say what you want to say about Conor being cocky, Floyd's done a lot of things that just make him a bad human being.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, you know, we will certainly see what happens with that, but it'd be a huge draw. That would be huge money for, I assume, the UFC, because that was the only way it's possibly going to happen. I think Conor and Floyd would get paid very handsomely for that. But I do think that would be the first loss in Floyd's record. And I think that's part of the reason why this fight will never happen. Because Floyd will always want to keep his record.
He picked those opponents at the end, right? He did the Pacquiao fight when he knew Pacquiao was done and gone.
Yeah.
And he picked his fights at the end to keep that 49-0 record. If Floyd were somehow to win this fight, then he can be put up there with the greatest fighters of all time.
Yeah. But the last fight that I saw for Floyd was his hug, love taps, score points, and that's it. And mm-hmm. I don't think there's any possible way Conor McGregor can do that to Conor.
No.
Because I think
Conor adapts. You and I saw him in that Nate fight. And that Nate fight was very unique because Conor came out strong in the beginning. But Conor's endurance is his biggest, weakest point.
Yeah.
And that's my question in 12 rounds. But he adapts. In the Eddie Alvarez match, there was a point where I was watching with Fresh Take correspondent Paul. And we were saying, oh, he is getting a little slow and a little sluggish. Then he comes back, and at one point he has his hands behind his back because he analyzes, and he's like a computer in a weird way. Like you would see a Steve Nash on a court or a Sidney Crosby on the ice, just how dynamic they are of visualizing and seeing these. And Conor's at that level.
Yeah, and the one thing that you got to give Conor credit for, he was training with that one arm behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures of him doing that. So, I mean, this guy is obviously thinking three steps ahead, and you gotta think Floyd's age, Floyd's fighting style. Floyd has never struck me as like a Tyson. Like, they're just knockout after knockout, and people just laid out and just a mat sprawled with bodies. Floyd's smart, but I think Conor's smarter, and like you said, he'll adapt. I think that gives him more advantage.
I agree. But the promos for this, I think just the promos would be so amazing.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, Conor McGregor has such a confidence to him that it's like he will slice through his opponents. Like, whoever faces him next is in a lot of trouble because he's going to rip through them.
Yeah, and we still don't know that. I would think it'll be me personally. You know, I was thinking maybe the Super Bowl show, but that's a little too early, eh?
Yeah.
It's about 4 months away from the Super Bowl. Maybe more March, April, maybe WrestleMania time. I think we see Conor again.
Yeah. It makes sense.
And coincidentally enough, we may see Conor at WrestleMania. From a lot of talk, Triple H was scouting him at UFC. I doubt it, but it was interesting that Triple H was there, quote-unquote, scouting him.
Yeah, they definitely want him. Vince has got a hard-on right now for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it'll happen, ultimately. As nice as it would be, and I think wrestling is kind of built for him, I just don't think we will see him.
Yeah, it's hard to think of him in there, just the way that he's such a competitor in the mixed martial arts ring, it's hard to think about him ever being anything other than a mixed martial artist.
Yeah.
But you never know. I would have said that about Ronda.
Here's the difference. Ronda's eyes started to fall off the prize, and she started to focus on other things. And then look at what happened to her. And I think Conor probably, in his mind, recognizes the outside distractions. Because we don't, even with the rising star of Conor McGregor, do you hear him talking about movie deals? Do you hear him talking about TV shows or doing certain things? There's only one thing.
Not yet. I think eventually we'll get there because they all eventually get there. But I will agree with you. That's the one thing. He's just focused on fighting right now, which is very good for him.
Oh yeah, and that's what's going to continue to further his career.
And that's an interesting thing, but I like you brought that up, because that's something I've been pondering with Ronda. So Ronda says she only has a handful of these fights this week, right? And apparently she left an interview pretty really fast on Saturday. Meltzer was breaking that. And she just kind of left a presser. She wasn't ready for questions, so she just left it. So her mindset's still really weird. And it's interesting what if these movies this next year, what if these movies all bomb? What if she's not a movie star? Which is a very possible chance, because I think the steam has definitely died down for Ronda. She definitely needs to win. And I don't think a decision for Ronda will do in this Amanda Nunes fight.
No.
She has to knock her out. Like, she has to be the dominant Ronda to get her stock back up, because I still love Ronda Rousey. She's one of my favorite competitors of all time. Win or lose, she will be. But we have to evaluate where her stock is right now.
It's not there. But I think it could get higher with a win. But I think it's ultimately that, because you always hear that saying, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she tried to do too much, and she got burned. Connor has decided to do less right now. He's going, bouncing around weight classes, but ultimately he's doing the same thing, fighting. Ronda got distracted. That's at least what I think. I could be wrong. I could totally be off base. But
I mean, distracted, I don't know if that, I get what you're saying. I don't know if distracted's the right word, but I can't think of a better one right now, of her parallel from UFC to Hollywood and Glitz and Glam. I mean, I will say, I'll give you a distracted one, because even in the last fight we saw her with Holly Holm, she did admit she took her eye off the ball and that she was focusing too much on that and not enough on the fighting side of things. And I think that's why leading up to this Amanda Nunes fight, she's been very quiet.
Yeah.
Like, because exactly. The Holly Holm fight, there was nothing but press about her, and she's been a lot more quiet on the press side.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she needs, that focus. So I definitely think that bodes well for her, but at the end of the day, we're going to know what Ronda Rousey we got by the end of that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the deciding factor.
And I believe that fight is actually on a Friday, too, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Just with the holidays and everything, do you think that'll work well as far as the pay-per-view goes? And by the way, answer that question, then I have one more thing about UFC, then we're going to move on.
You know what? It's a day. It's a day, mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you're going in with someone else that has a loaded gun. It shouldn't matter if it's your cousin's birthday tomorrow. Your main focus should be on the fight.
No, I'm talking about for viewers, though.
Viewers? I think there'll be some people that will drift away from the product because, I mean,
because it's a Friday.
Well, isn't it close to holiday? You said.
It's after Christmas. Christmas, I believe, this year falls on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so it'll be so 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. I believe it's on the 30th. So 2 days, the day before New Year's Eve.
That might bring people together, but that might also not work out. I think it may pan out, but it might not. I think it could. It's gonna be too hard to tell, because either people are together during the holidays and maybe one of their things is watching UFC, and maybe they're just people on holidays going, I don't want to watch this. So I've already spent enough money during Christmas. I don't want to spend another $70 on a pay-per-view. That could be another thought process.
That's true. That's a very solid point. Yeah, you could also have the people, too, that are like, hey, we're going to go spend New Year's Eve and we're going to be out tomorrow. I don't really want to spend money tomorrow on UFC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The day beforehand on UFC. So maybe I'll just find out on Twitter or something. So I'm interested for that, to see the buy rate. By the way, just quickly to show how impactful this last Conor fight was, guess how many Twitter impressions this had.
I'm going to say it was in the millions.
14 million.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
14 billion? It's 14 million or 14 billion, I think. 14 million, I believe.
Yeah, it's 14 million.
Guess how many the Super Bowl had.
How many?
Four.
Yeah? The one thing that I think we forget about is the Super Bowl is really, 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 really big down in the States.
North America-wise.
North America, mostly, I don't think Mexico's as...
No, Canada and the States.
Yeah.
And a little
then,
bit in...
Canada,
in
I think there's a drop-off compared to our neighbors down south. And then after that, the rest of the world is just kind of like, meh. Connor's an international star.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge. Like, that's... Most of those football players are from Canada, U.S.
Pretty much U.S.
Yeah, pretty much U.S. But Conor's an international. You have people from all over the world, and fighting, you don't need to know. You know the basic rules to it already. And you just watch. And you watch a guy like Conor, who's already drawn in people, just continue to draw in more. Super Bowl, you know, is, to be very blunt, it's a very slow game. There's a lot of commercials. There's more interest in the commercials than the game sometimes, just with the pacing of an NFL game. That's a conversation for another day. But Conor, it's like that. It could be over like that. And I think that helps propel that to more Twitter impressions than anything. I think the only thing that
those really Twitter impressions I'm just checking now were North America.
Wow.
Yeah, would make that even more impressive.
Yeah, that is definitely.
It is interesting, like you said. I mean, you and I don't want to make this a whole thing, but you and I have had conversations about the NFL and the ratings is losing and everything like that. And it's also, too, I think Conor is this one entity. You know, when Conor's fighting, you want to talk about him. He's a polarizing figure. In the NFL, NBA, they have a handful of these stars, especially the NFL, like globally, like you even said. NFL, globally, it's maybe Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, J.J. Watt.
I'd say globally, it's probably Brady and the rest are there, but I feel like they're a slight distance behind.
Maybe Cam Newton because of the dabbing and all that stuff, possibly.
And even then, people may know the dab, but don't know the Newton part. So that's a little,
So, but then you look at Conor, he's an international superstar. Is he bigger than a Ronaldo or a Messi or a LeBron? No, but he's definitely in that class.
Yeah, oh yeah. Definitely. Like, and there's no, I think he's on his way to being a international, highly recognized athlete.
If he's not already.
Yeah. But I think as time goes, I think he's just gonna his stock's just gonna keep going and going and going and going. And as long as he keeps winning and he keeps, as long as he keeps winning, stays clean, and continues to be a dominant force, then he is just going to keep elevating his stock. And
absolutely.
It's going to be hard to find a world where Conor McGregor is not one of the top fighters of all time.
If he's not there already, I mean, you look at some of the past fighters and to me, he's past the Iceman and all that. Like, he's GSP, Silva at his prime territory now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty scary. I mean, probably the best fight I've ever seen live. I know it's not the best fight alive, but it's the one I saw with you was Conor and DS2. And there's a lot of people saying, should we do that rematch? And I'm like, I really don't want to see that again just yet, especially with the Mayweather thing out there, which I'm more interested in. And just all the other fights with those titles that can happen, I think it'd be a waste to just throw this third Diaz fight out right now.
Yeah.
That would be three of the last four fights have been that fight. It's a great series of great fights, but let's change up the flavor a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree.
But let's move on. What do we got next?
Next is our friends. We're still on UFC, and it's a very quick note. There was a tie, and it caused much controversy. You watched the show. Give us a little bit of backstory on what happened.
Yeah, so Tyron Woodley and Wonderboy were in there together, and they went to the judges, and the judges were a tie. There's a lot of controversy around it. I haven't been able to make up the whole thing because just our pay-per-view feed had dropped at the time, and I haven't still got the full answer on it, so unfortunately I can't give a full journalistic thing, but hearing John Paul talk about it, Tyron Woodley still kept his title by default, but there's a lot of stuff in the air. But in a positive way for the UFC, in a sport, like we said, you know, Ronda on her way out. We don't know when GSP is going to be back. GSP's free agent. He's not a free agent. We don't know the deal on that yet. They need big fights to happen still. And, you know, they lost Cowboy Cerrone. He was injured for this pay-per-view. And so it was Rashad Evans. So they still get those fights. And now they have this rematch right here. It won't be in the Toronto show, which needed a big boost. And, hey, Dana, we're still looking for a show in Calgary, so that'd be a great place to have that rematch.
Yeah, yeah, we still haven't had that makeup, and it's been a couple of years. So It's definitely set the Twitter world abuzz. Bruce Buffer's flub, definitely. But from my understanding, that was not Bruce Buffer, but that was...
The judges.
Yeah, the judges, and he had questioned it, and they just said, go read it.
How much do you want to bet WWE is doing that this week?
Oh, I hope.
Two things you're going to see on WWE. One you're going to hear. One we will see in person and we'll know what they're doing. They're going to say someone blew a 3-1 lead. That is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
110%.
Oh, yeah. It's happened too much.
It's happened too much, and we know it's going to happen. And the commentator's like, I can't believe they blew a 3-1 lead. It's just going to happen. Vince won't have any idea what it means, but they're going to do it. Oh. And then this incident with the tie, that will happen as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that Smashing Pumpkins line happened. And speaking about Smashing Pumpkins, what a segue.
The best thing is to not acknowledge the segue.
I know. Billy Corgan, TNA, is settled. And that's the end of that chapter?
TNA is still alive, Josh. That's all I'm going to say on this matter.
Matt Hardy has amnesia.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't remember anything. He's a working man now. He's a working man.
What?
We'll watch these on the plane. Jeff tried to get him to go to the river, and he wouldn't go in.
So they're going to fix broken Matt Hart. I am stopping myself. I'm smiling. And I'm going, good for TNA.
It's actually pretty... those are the best segments. The fact that, you know, you get two people that were out on TNA completely, and that we, you know, we brushed by this Billy Corgan thing, and be like, hey, this Matt Hardy thing, still, is a very positive sign.
Still, but it's still TNA.
It is. Let's talk about our good friend Vader.
Yeah, you know... Vader takes a lot of slack, and he is very much grumpy old man, get off my lawn, shaking fist, but the guy's got congestive heart failure. His tweets are hard to read, but from what I gather, he has congestive heart failure, and he's 2 years to live.
So, we're going to have another guy on Dead Wrestler Beach. I say that with the highest sincerity, I do. But I think... We always have these times where these wrestlers just get taken away, and in a way, it's nice in a way now, because now we can know and have this time to appreciate Vader a lot more, and you got to think he's going to go in the Hall of Fame this year now, just to get it done with, so Vader can have his speech and everything, because he was wonderful when he did his speech. Who did he put in again?
Yeah.
Stan Hansen, right? Stan Hansen. His speech for Stan Hansen was wonderful. So I have to think they're going to put Vader in the Hall this year just to move things along and just so they can have that speech and all that kind of stuff. And maybe even you could do a Vader DVD. It'd be hard to get the Japan stuff. We get a lot of stuff, but you know, his stuff in WCW, NWA is worth it. WWE, not as great of a run. The Shawn Michaels match was fun, but it could have been better, obviously, but really underutilized in WWE, but if you want some good stuff, check out Classy Vader and WCW. Just ahead of his time, you look at guys like Kevin Owens, he kind of was a Kevin Owens before Kevin Owens was Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Just a big guy that could deal with super athletic things.
Yeah. I definitely think it is time to put him in the Hall of Fame. He definitely has a Hall of Fame worthy career, but it's...
I think he may be in Meltzer's even.
I don't know. I would not be shocked. He did have a huge impression in Japan, and I think that definitely...
That's the biggest thing, and that's where to do a DVD with him, it's harder because of that Japan footage.
Yeah. But I think there's definitely some positives to shine. It's just a shame that the club kind of screwed him.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of screwed up situations...
Let's talk about Joey Styles.
Yeah.
Oh my god! You're an idiot. So, Joey Styles was at a Evolve show. And He was with a female in the ring and with another male. I'm lost in the names. Do you have the names on you by any chance?
No.
No? Okay. Names are irrelevant. And he said something around the lines of, grab you by, looked at the female, and suing the Donald Trump line that we all know, and then more or less called the guy next to him saying he was a pussy. But we all knew he was insinuating that Donald Trump line grabbed them by the pussy. So this caught a lot of fire.
Yeah, apparently Gabe Sapolsky had a blew a gasket backstage.
Yep, and he has been banned from Chikara shows, from ZZW shows, which is saying something.
You get banned from CZW. I think Vice recently released a documentary on
CZW. They did. It's by the guy from Fucked Up. It's on the law quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's a documentary you and I may be watching this week.
Nope. I'm good. I've seen the little clip. I am just going to... I'm going to pick and choose what I want to watch. CZW is not something I have total interest in, so I'm just going to sidestep around it and just be like, bye, CZW. You're
anyways,
there.
We'll go back. but he's been banned from a whole bunch of shows. Dawn Marie, Mickey James, a few people came out and kind of just said, like, hey, it's wrestling, and that's the way you talk. But I don't think that's the way you should be allowed to talk. I think that's unacceptable. And
no.
We need to get by these cheap lines and all these kind of things in wrestling.
Well, one of the big reasons why he got in trouble was because Gabe asked them to not mention anything political. And he mentioned something political. And he panicked. From what I read, the Joey Styles apology, he told Gabe to fire him. This is from Joey, said, fire me. This is, you said no, because they were afraid that Foslam, stupid name, Foslam was going to get really upset with them for saying something political, and they have edited it out.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, it's a vulgar line, first of all.
Yeah.
And you just, right now, everyone is so uncertain how to handle this election stuff with Trump. No one knows how they're going to be censored or any of that stuff. So it's a very thin line right now. You and I have even kind of stayed the course with everything.
Go about your business. Don't keep steering the ship the same way. Just kind of keep going. Joey obviously decided to steer the ship right into the storm, and his boat got kind of dinged a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So, you know, we move from one situation to another. Our good friend Paige.
Well, I was going to just go back to the Joey Styles thing really quickly here. Like, that language, I was just going to kind of get into the language argument there. Like, it's just really lazy. And what did you think about people like Dawn Marie and Mickey James kind of going like, that's just the culture and stuff like that? I think that's such a stupid, shitty argument.
You know what? It's their argument. I can't sit there and say that they're wrong for it. It's their choice to have...
You need to change that, though. That can't be perceived as that should be the culture.
I think that the biggest problem that's had with this is it was a political joke in an environment that didn't want to get political.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it was very much within that I don't know how much it was the wording, because I mean, we've heard swears in wrestling. It's just what kind of pops up there.
Mm-hmm.
That line that I'm not going to repeat is definitely something that should not be, like, it's going to be a punchline for a little bit, but it's something that shouldn't be a punchline.
No, because it's about sexual assault. It's been turned into a joke when whatever you think about President Trump, it shouldn't be looked at a joke either way. It's about sexual assault in a way that it's a vulgar statement that should just not be re-uttered.
Yeah, but at the same time, the biggest thing that the two biggest things is it is that it is sexual assault and it is a political statement on a show that was not meant to be political. That's why he got fired. I can't speak for Mickey James, Dawn Marie, why their side of things. I mean, mm-hmm. they're more
and
than entitled.
They were just a few. There's a few people that came out and said, and some people were against it, and some people had this. There was a whole argument this week about speech in wrestling, and then it turned into a race thing, which neither one of us want to touch. But it just of the language and the way language is used in wrestling and how we say things and political correctness in wrestling and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
and
I mean, AJ Styles said sugar tit on Monday Night Raw.
Which is just weird.
I don't quite know how to feel about it, but it's
well, there. That was kind of one of the arguments that Dawn Marie was saying. She's like, there is no political correctness in wrestling. Which is just like, okay, like, Dawn, you've done a lot of good stuff for the Cauliflower Club and stuff. That's not exactly something I think a lot of people would agree with you right now. There should be some political correctness in wrestling because there's just some things you just can't say. And what Joey said was that, and there's other things that also can't be said. And there's stuff that, you know, we've talked about a million times. Stuff you could have said in the Attitude Era, sure, but you just can't say it now.
It's one of those things where, here's the thing, it's done and over with. Joey's career has taken a hit. It was a stupid line to say. It was unnecessary. It was not needed at all. And it's done. He has been punished for it. There's nothing more to really... Because if this had happened and there was no punishment, then there would be a whole different outcry and a whole different conversation. But he got punished, and he's taking a thrashing right now. So...
As he should.
So it is... to me, it's done. And I feel
It's done. I just think the line of all the political correctness stuff and that, it's a bigger discussion for a bigger day. That's been kind of the thing I've been seeing a lot in the last few days that this story has broke.
Yeah. And it's going to rage on. There is going to be that debate, but ultimately that's for other people to have.
What's next? Paige. She was at an independent show this week. I don't know if she is in total... Well, I know that she's in this season of Total Divas, but she wasn't advertised. So that's got to be a telling sign.
Yeah, I think her days in WWE are numbered. I mean, she'll probably be happier when she's outside of WWE, so...
Well, and like Court Bauer reported, they don't like to cut people when they're hurt because it's just bad PR.
Yeah.
So when she's nice and healthy, then they can kick her out the door.
And I think that's probably what's going to happen.
And she was at an independent show this week, and Del Rio's starting this restaurant. I'm sure she's helping him with that. It'll be interesting to see how... I think the biggest breaking news from anything from Total Divas, there may be one or two things. There's always a few things. We saw that from Bella's with the Daniel Bryan stuff, but it'll be interesting to see how they use Paige and how they perceive the Paige and Del Rio relationship on Total Divas.
Yeah.
And moving on.
Summer Rae. It's not so sunny.
So she released a big Instagram post. And I'm going to read what she wrote on there. So she released this just the other day, kind of confirming some stuff that we had. So you and I have had, mainly more me, but you've been interested in it. What's wrong with Summer? We see this Raw roster of women, and it's very small. And someone like Foxy, you know, she's been around for 10 years, and where's the depth in there? Why are they using Summer Rae? Well, Summer Rae released a statement on her Instagram. I'll just read a short bit. It's a pretty lengthy statement, but she said, well, it's almost mid-November now, so maybe it's time to answer the question I got flooded with every single day on social media for the past 2.5 months. I've been dealing with an injury. I've been very proud and not shared my journey during this time. I don't know why that is actually, perhaps. Talking about it, putting a spotlight on it makes it more real. That was something I was not ready for. A spotlight is put on us every day, every aspect of your life. Maybe I thought, let me deal with this privately since it affects so many things in my life and out of the ring. Or maybe, why haven't I talked about it because I assumed it would be an easy fix and want to take that long to get back to normal. That it wouldn't take this long to fix it, but the diagnose as well. That alone is so frustrating, the holding pattern that your life puts in. For 9 years, I've been lucky to hold this career in wrestling and professional football. In lingerie football, and then she goes on to say, I've been so humbled by the overwhelming support towards me on social media and seeing the fans outpouring love and passion. I must say it's bittersweet seeing it from home and not being able to more or less come out there. She's just saying it's bittersweet not coming out there and performing in the ring. She's dealing with doctors and physical therapists, and she's coming along nicely. She doesn't give a timetable when she's back, doesn't tell the injury, but now we have an update where Summer is. We had suspected that she was injured, and now we can confirm that she is, and hopefully a healthy recovery, and hopefully maybe she can make it by WrestleMania.
Yeah. I think it's like, you still don't fully know what's going on, but at the same time, I'm hoping that she gets better, can come back, because, I mean, she stood out during her...
Great promo. She's a great promo.
She's a good promo. Don't overhype her.
She was the founder of the BFFs. I think she's still probably right now ranking the women on Raw. I haven't heard Emma talk for a while, but I think she's better than Sasha as a promo.
Yeah.
I think she's better than Bayley as a promo as well. In the ring, she leaves something to be desired, but she's not terrible. She's suitable in the ring. She's not any better or worse than Nikki Bella.
No.
She's not any better or worse than Carmella. So she can go in the ring. She's a pretty decent talker. So she'll be a welcome addition back to the women's locker room when she does come back. And
yeah.
It's someone that you and I have, you know, been interested with her career so far and hope that she finds a spot. And, hey, man, I don't know what her salary is, but I know she deserves more than whatever Rosa Mendez makes.
Yeah.
Which we found out, and I'm not going to put out right now, but it's ridiculous. You know Rosa's been with the company for over 10 years?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Can you tell me one memorable Rosa Mendez segment?
No.
Yeah. Exactly. I can tell you a few from, like, because Foxy's been there for over 10 as well, right?
Yeah.
I think if we put our heads together, we could probably do a top 10 of Foxy.
Top 5?
I could do a top 10.
Top 5.
I could do a top 10.
Then you know more than I do.
Yeah. What's next?
What's next? Well, this is going to be tough to talk about. Like, I just don't know how you and me are going to get through this. We've got to preview NXT TakeOver Toronto and Survivor Series.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be really hard to talk about, because I don't think either of us care about that show or
one bit. At that
show or...
It's bias time, people. Well, not bias, but... So we're going there, and we're excited for this trip, and NXT was the reason that we... You know, we had been on the fence, like, oh, Survivor Series, you know, it's in our backyard here in the north in Canada. I mean, it's still a 3.5-hour plane ride. It's no... I mean, that's a smaller plane ride, but it's still, you know, a decent time to wait in a plane.
Yeah.
So it's no cakewalk to get there, but, you know, being in Canada, it's a lot easier to travel there as far as currency and, you know, phones work and everything. And NXT was really the pushing block. And this is before we booked this trip, before we knew about Goldberg and Brock, which was just kind of a nice silver lining on top.
Oh, yeah. But
and especially the biggest silver lining on top is the rumors about a certain electrifying one.
We'll get to that. But
yeah.
NXT TakeOver Toronto is why we got here. So let's talk about the matches. I think the first match we're going to talk about, and I think this is going to be match of the night, Josh. Really excited to see this live. It's the Revival versus Project DIY. Gargano and Ciampa versus Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Championship. So this match will be tied up, and this will go to the third pinfall.
Yes. If I got to assume that we're going to see some call-ups. Now, I talked to you about that Scott Dawson tweet that I saw beforehand, and he talked about the Headbangers and Spirit Squad and James Ellsworth being on the main roster and not being on the main roster. Specifically, he mentioned SmackDown Live. I think they could be used more on Raw right now, just the way the division is.
Yeah.
But I think my point is, I think these guys, along with Samoa Joe, it's their time to get to the main roster. So I have DIY winning the tag titles and letting the Revival move up to the main roster, where I do think they're going to be used very well. Call me an optimist. I know I'm crazy. I think they're good enough that they will stand out.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they are a different style of tag teams. They have such a different look to them and different feel. So I'm excited. This is going to be a great match. Revival, I totally agree. I think when they get up to that main roster, I think they're going to kill it.
Which is I think Vince is going to really like them.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good thing for them. And, you know, I'm just really going to enjoy when they get up there and just let them go and let them run wild a little bit and have some fun. It's time to let them go up there. Gargano and Ciampa are like two little children in NXT that are just so much fun. Your favorite wrestler, the Drifter, played him a song, and they sat cross-legged in the middle of the ring. It's really nice. I thought it was something that you'd really appreciate. Hello? Is this thing on?
No comment. I like the Drifter as much as you like Brie Bella.
I don't hate Brie Bella.
Don't you?
Free mode bothers me, but...
Free mode!
But it's not like the Drifter heat.
Oh, god damn it. I hope he doesn't come out of Toronto.
I so hope he does, because I'm going to cheer and clap.
Oh, the Snapchat Joel will take of my disappointed face.
I'll probably be more cheering, and I really hope... Gotta get you a Drifter shirt. That's what you need from Toronto.
I don't even know if they make Drifter shirts.
I hope they do, just for you. Let's get to the next match.
But by the way, really quickly, I'm going to put this on wax. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think the Revival could be the team that takes the tag titles away from the New Day.
They're going to SmackDown.
We'll see. If they go to the Raw, I think they'll be the team that takes the tag titles off of the New Day. If they go to SmackDown, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? It would be smart to maybe make them take the titles off of Rhino and Heath, because that's just really gotten cold.
Yeah.
And then you could have them fight with American Alpha. By the way, I have a little bit of rant about the SmackDown tag division, but we'll save that.
Yeah. Next little bit is the Authors of Pain versus TM61, which is a Pokemon move. In the Dusty mm-hmm. Road Classic Tag Team Classic Tournament Final, with mm-hmm. Paul Elring suspended above the ring inside a cage?
No.
That's what it's listed.
Did they let Vince Russo into the writing staff?
Possibly. Here, I'm on.
Where are you reading this on?
I'm going through the WWE website. Because Elring's interference, Regal considered banning the Hall of Famer from ringside, but was threatened with legal action. Taking inspiration from WWE Mantell's Crash Cage playset, Regal found a way to keep Elring at ringside, or above it, but unable to interject himself in the bout. And this is from the WWE page.
I will admit I missed NXT this week, before we did this taping, and I think you did too, so this is catching both of us by surprise.
He's gonna be in a cage. Judy Bagwell on a pole all over.
Well,
again.
At least I can say I saw it live. One of the greatest wrestling managers. It reminds me, I think it was a match that AWA Cornette did this. With the Midnight Express against somebody in the AWA.
It's possible.
So it's kind of a callback to that, but yeah. Vince Russo got led into the booking staff. That's the worst gimmick that they've had so far. Like, I wonder what Dusty would think, but Dusty may love it. I don't know. Dusty's had some pretty shitty match ideas in his life, so.
Well, wasn't his idea the electric chair match?
Yeah, and I think he had his idea was also, don't quote me on this, it probably was Vince Russo, but the Kiss My Ass match, where he had a match with Ric Flair and him, and the loser had to kiss a donkey's ass. Have you never heard of this match, Joel?
No.
I paid for that on pay-per-view. I can't remember what else was on that card, but yeah, that was an actual match.
Well, I guess I know I'm looking up on the WWE Network tonight. moving forward, who's winning? Who's winning the finals?
Well, first of all, I think this is really shitty two teams to have in the finals with what you have for selection. I'm shocked that Sanity's not in the final. Yeah. I think Sanity, having Eric Young out there would have been really big. And maybe them versus, I liked what the team but they had with No Way Jose and who else was with him? Rich Swann. That would have been way more fun of a match. This is probably one of the worst gimmick matches they've had and one of the worst overall matches they had. I've never been a fan of TM61. Powers of Pain or whatever, I think Powers of Pain win. They seem to be wanting to push them.
Yeah, so they're going to win, and Paul Ellering will somehow get out of that cage. And
I don't even know who I'm rooting for in this match. I don't like either team.
I think this will be the one match where we're like, oh, it's there.
This could be the bathroom break / beer run for me.
Yeah. It's possible. We also have another match. Two Canadian kids. They haven't had infamy in their career.
They're not going to get the baby biggest pops of the weekend.
No. It's Stan versus Bobby Roode. Ty Dillinger, 10. He got super kicked by Shawn Michaels and gloriously Bobby Roode.
Did he get super kicked by Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, Ty Dillinger was Stan.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
I'm almost positive he was.
He has been down in development for quite a long time.
Yeah, since 2006.
Yeah. He's one of those Ryback, Damian Sandhouse that's just never given up.
No, he just kind of kept going, and it's paid off for him.
Mm-hmm.
He left WWE in 2009, and mm-hmm. then he returned in 2013.
Okay. That's probably going to be what happens to Angelo Dawkins, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, that's a guy that I really like, and I think he's got a really good gimmick. Like, for this time, the gimmick that Angelo Dawkins has, it's so perfect with the LeBron stuff. They should be capitalizing on that, but it's just not going to happen. There's so many little guys like that. Even like a guy like Steve Cutler, I kind of like, but they'll just never really use any of those guys, right?
Yeah, there's certain guys that just will never climb ahead, and it's just the way it is. It sucks sometimes, but, you know, going from C, I just kick Stan to being one of the third matches, getting a big reaction in
Toronto. I think, by the way, I know this is third in there, I think this is opening the show.
Pardon?
I think this is opening the show.
Yeah. I think
just because of the pops you're going to get, I think this is opening the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do the tag match, the DIY and Revival just to get the crowd up, but the crowd will lose their mind the most from this. So it's really, you really have two great choices for opening matches.
Oh, yeah.
Who gets the bigger pop is the question, because the 10s are going to be everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Both Ontario kids, both Toronto kids. Bobby Roode still lives in Toronto, by the way.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did an interview with John Pollock from The Law and talked that he still lives there. Huge lacrosse fan.
Oh.
You know your Canadian win.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have Bobby Roode winning this match and then facing the champion, I won't say who yet, at the Australian Tour.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
I got Bobby.
Yeah. Should be fun though. I'm really looking. This is one of the main things I'm looking forward to this week is this match. I don't even know. I'm looking forward to the match as much as I'm looking forward to the entrances.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of fun entrances.
What's next?
Oh, it's this little woman's match. Mickey James versus Asuka.
Yeah. That's not going to be fun at all. By the way, too, I think that we're going to have some dark matches. I wouldn't be shocked if Aliyah got a dark match. I've been saying that for a while just because she's from Toronto.
Yeah.
And they'd like to get her to get the home crowd. And I wonder if they'll do some kind of six-woman tag match against Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. So I think we might see that in a dark match. Again, we'll keep you updated with that on the One Fall NXT pod coming out late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. This match is just going to be so fun. I haven't seen Mickie James live ever, and we haven't seen her in a WWE ring in, geez, quite a long time.
Yeah, and we get to see it live.
And get to see Asuka live, who may be the greatest female wrestler on the roster right now, debatable.
She's definitely up there, you know, the promos notwithstanding, in ring.
Yes.
Whew. And then, so...
And this was supposed to be Trish Stratus, by the way.
Well, Hunter shot it down in the conference call, but...
Did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said that it was Mickey, that the plan was to let the other women develop more, and it was going to be Mickey. So.
Yeah, well, she was a trainer down there, I think, last year.
Yeah.
So, I have Asuka winning this. Part of me kind of wants Asuka to lose so she can come to the main roster, though.
It's not going to happen.
Because it'd almost be better for, like, an Ember Moon, who I do think is going to be the person that wins, that's the next big thing there, is Ember Moon. But there's a lot of girls there. Like, Ember Moon hasn't really stood out, I think, the way they wanted her to stand out. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's been a little Asuka's last kind of...
Like, if you're going by standouts there, I'd probably say Peyton and Billy have done a better job at standing out as over on the roster as far as the women go.
Yeah.
And I think the funniest thing with them was they had that Instagram post, and they said, "We're best friends," in Jericho comments, and said, "Get your own fucking gimmick."
Yeah.
But yeah, I have... Something telling me to pick Mickie James in this match, but I'm going to pick Asuka.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Asuka.
And then main event time.
Josh, how can we watch a former guy from TNA and a former guy from New Japan compete? I mean,
how... Former guy from Ring of Honor.
Well, Ring of Honor. TNA. Just all the world, traveled... well-rounded former Samoa Joe challenging Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, this won't be fun at all.
If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that A, Shinsuke Nakamura would be in the WWE, and B, I'd be seeing him live in October, like in November, I would have said you were a liar.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, how is that possible? Like, he's not going to be in WWE.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a champion, and he's not going to have the most... one of the most singable theme songs. And when he walks down that ramp, Josh,
it's going to be electrifying.
Yeah. Not as electrifying as a certain point in Survivor Series potentially could be, but it'll be very electrifying.
We'll get to that.
But who do you got winning, Josh?
Man, I have flip-flopped on this, actually. I think the obvious answer to some people is Knock, but Joe is advertised for the Australian tour.
So is,
so is Knock.
Yeah.
They obviously need Joe on SmackDown. He served his time. It's done and over with. It's time for Joe to come to the main roster. And I think maybe Meltzer confirmed that he's going to be there eventually.
Yeah.
Having said that, man, I wouldn't be shocked if they maybe kept him, but I think... that it's going to be Bobby versus Shinsuke on the Australian Takeover.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura retains his belt. And because he'll be debuting, I think, around Royal Rumble time.
And I would probably agree with you. It's Nak wins, and I think Joe's debut is closer than a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's NXT. It's going to be a really good show. It could be the show of the week. Although, the show we're going to get to next has a lot of really exciting things on it. I've actually gotten a lot more hyped for Survivor Series with the go-homes this week. And I mean, do you think, before we get to Survivor Series, and we run down these matches, has the idea of being there live influenced your excitement more than you think you would be if we were just meeting to watch this on pay-per-view?
I think it does.
Like, I'm probably, for Survivor Series, I'm probably, like, at a 9 for excitement.
Yeah.
I think if I was just watching it, I'd probably be about a 7 or 8.
Yeah, I think there'd be some excitement, but there wouldn't be... I think we're definitely kind of really up there, but, you know, we got to get to that card and see if it excites us more or not, but...
Well, and NXT, it's so hard, too. Like, for us, and for anyone that's going there for all 3 nights, and traveling there for all 3 nights... I think a lot of people are doing what we're doing. A lot of people are just we're traveling there to see NXT. And then everything else is golden. And it's going to be really hard. Like, NXT is going to be that – it's the first thing you get to see, so it gets the automatic shine, and then everything else throughout the week is going to be compared to NXT.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
But let's get to Survivor Series, which is going to be, what, a five-hour show for us?
Whoa-hoo. So let's start off with our first match. Miz defending his newly won Intercontinental title versus Sami Zayn. Miz won the title on SmackDown in shocking fashion. I thought Ziggler would retain, but clearly I was wrong, and we are getting Sami Zayn versus The Miz, a heel versus babyface.
Instead of the show stealer that we all wanted.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to say Sami Zayn wins the title.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you as well, and I think this is what's going to happen. I think Sami's going to win, but Sami and Miz are trading for each other.
Yeah.
And that's going to make no logical sense. You traded the IC champion, but I think they've done a good job of Stephanie hating Sami and Daniel hating The Miz. And The Miz and Daniel, as fun as it's been, there's no payoff. They can't fight each other. So there's no reason to have this go back and forth anymore. I think you need to separate them for a bit and tease it maybe throughout the years. It's fun, but there's nothing more you can do with Bryan and Miz. It's time to separate them.
Yeah, but I've got Sami winning the IC title.
Me too, and I think Ziggler will have something to do with it.
Yeah. Now we go to our next match, which is another Raw versus SmackDown. We've got the Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto. The Cruiserweights could move to Tuesday nights, and damn it, Josh, they're moving to Tuesday nights with Kalisto winning.
Well, they have Live 205 taping with SmackDown, so it just seems the most obvious, but goddamn, do you know Vince likes to swerve people?
Oh, God, he'll be laughing backstage for like 6 weeks. He apparently... had a massive laugh every time Seth Rollins said the word sparkle crotch. So that's the man we're dealing with right now.
Like Adam Blompé from What Culture Said, this is the man that enjoys pushing people into pools.
Oh, yes, he does. And this is a pool that we may get pushed into.
Yeah, so it should be interesting.
Kalisto did have a botch on SmackDown that I was like, oh, God, he's going to have a botch on Survivor Series. And Vince,
that's about Oni being on SmackDown. He looked pretty good.
Yeah. Speaking of Kalisto, let's transition to his little friend Sin Cara, who is now changing with the extras on in the locker room because he went after Chris Jericho. And you don't go
Hey, man, he had a big speech. He had a big speech on Raw.
Yeah.
By the way, I think I agree with you. I think Kalisto beats Brian Kendrick and that the division moves.
Yeah.
Which it should. Because the Cruiserweights, you know, we saw this week, we saw the return of Edge, and we saw the return of The Undertaker. And I guess we should end on The Undertaker really quick because we never did. But Cruiserweights and SmackDown just make sense. Edge and SmackDown just make sense. And The Undertaker and SmackDown definitely make sense.
He's back.
Will we see him at Survivor Series?
No.
Hard to say.
But he's going to be – he's not working. He will never work a full-time schedule. He will never work house shows. But he's going to pop up every once in a while, and he'll probably
– Royal Rumble sounds like – I think TLC is a waste of a show for him. Just because, you know, you have a TLC, you have that Dean and AJ match, which will be really awesome. And then I'm assuming you'll have some kind of state – maybe you're going to have something for the women. Maybe they'll do a ladder match with Becky and Bliss. We don't know yet.
Just to send a message to Crazy McFoley. We'll have to talk about Foley after we run down this card.
Yeah. by the way, Shane and Foley apparently have real hate between each other.
Really?
Remember Shane threw the water bottle right at him?
Oh, yeah.
There's apparently real heat. I don't know what it is, but they both hate each other. And maybe it's from that interview I've heard, you know, the podcast.
Really?
I don't know. Some people were... there's been a few people that have speculated that they don't like each other.
Wow.
So something to keep an update on. That the Transcend the Universe thing was a train wreck that you just couldn't turn away from.
Yeah, no, you couldn't. But, moving forward, let's talk about tag teams. Team Raw, I am not running through all the teams.
Okay.
So, no. But we have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown tag teams. Who wins, who loses, and who will survive on your
way? Well, first of all, I think we have to agree on something. The first teams out will either be Breeze Dango or the Shining Stars.
Yes.
Which one goes first?
Breeze Dango.
Oh, man, I hope not. They're going to be giving so many people tickets if that's the case. They're really... I'm really loving this act.
Yeah, it's an act. It's there.
I'm just happy that Tyler Breeze has something.
Yeah.
And same with Fandango. I just like when guys get something. And I do think that there's a little too much comedy on WWE programming right now. And that's why I'm kind of happy with what Braun did. When Braun had the scarf the other day, I was like, oh, God, I just pictured Goldust and Goldberg. I'm like, if he wears that scarf, it's not good. And I just like that he ripped it up and just made it not silly.
Yeah.
And I think that really saved the Braun Strowman character, who we'll get to in a bit. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Breeze Dangle will be out first, and it'll probably be Breeze that gets pinned. And I have Team Raw winning this with the New Day beating the Slater and Rhino.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what do you think? Before I have a little rant about the SmackDown segment from the tag teams this week.
I think, for shits and giggles, I think the Hype Bros will be one of the last teams for Team SmackDown, and I think it will be the New Day that will be getting the win for Team Raw.
By the way, actually, you know what? I realize, no, I have Team SmackDown winning.
No. No.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'll come back to it. I'm just trying to think. Because I can't decide. We can both agree on this. We both, just a spoiler alert, I for one, I think the men SmackDown are winning. The team.
Yeah.
Just to jump ahead. So the real question is, like, you know it's going to be a 1-1 tie going in. It's just a question of, do the women on SmackDown win or the women on Raw win? I think they may give it to the Raw women.
Yeah. Well, I got distracted there for a second, and it was because Alvarez on the Wrestling Observer Radio just said that WWE has something big planned for Sunday.
I'm fine with that. That's cool. I just hope it's electrifying. Because I'm going to pass out. I'm not going to be able to do a podcast on Sunday.
Apparently Meltzer had just said yeah.
I can't do it. It's
going to
be too much.
You know, we're just going to pause on the tag team. This is the song we're going to hear, Josh. This is what you're going to hear. And I don't care what you say. This is what's going to happen. And you're just...
I swear to God, if you fucking play the Drifter right now, I'm going to murder you.
No, this is what you're going to hear. I hope it's not a commercial. Yeah, it's a stupid ad.
That's why you gotta have stuff for Apple Music, man. That's why you need Apple Music. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
No? Is that's a too long of a shot?
Yeah, that's way too long of a shot.
Wow. I'm gonna always dream. Every time I go to a show, I'm always gonna be like, this'll be the show. This'll be the show.
Now, what we're talking about is the Brahma Bowl.
Yeah. It's
coincidentally having a movie to promo this week too. Huh, convenient.
It all just kind of works out for Rocky. So, because we clearly put a pause on the tag team preview.
Let's just talk about this Rock thing really quick.
Yeah.
Because we've been teasing it all night, and it's something that, you know, you start seeing, and then you have friends that we have, like Fresh Take co-founder Devin Seal, who sees stuff on ESPN, and he's like, oh my God, you guys mentioned the Rock. And you and I have been trying not to overthink about it, because, you know, two people, they're going to the show, and neither one of us has seen The Rock live. It's, you know, it's The Rock, and he's just one of the sexiest men in the people. He's the most highest paid actor in the world. He's one of the guys that we grew up with, both of our childhood heroes. It's kind of hard not to get excited to have the idea that you may see The Rock. It's kind of mind-bending just to think, like, you and I were like, oh yeah, we'll do NXT and, you know, Survivor Series will be cool. We'll get some traditional matches. That'll be fun. We were really just excited, like, hey, we're going to see AJ Styles. We're cool. And then you add the Goldberg and the Brock stuff, which we'll get to that match. And now this rumor, it's just all a little bit much.
If it happens, who does he come out and cut a promo on?
Well, I had seen one site that said Hogan and one site that said Austin. But I don't know if it'll be that. But Undertaker's another name I could think of. But if Austin comes out with Rock, I'm gonna pass out.
I don't think I'd be, because they'd be, because they've been posting a lot of Rock and Austin stuff. If both of them pop up,
yeah,
it would be like, I don't know what I would do. I would probably, there would probably be a couple tears rolling down my cheek.
Oh, I would be crying. I'm not gonna, I'm a 31-year-old man. I'm a 31-year-old broadcaster. And I've had a few tears when college championship games for the teams winning. I don't think any tears would compare to the tears I would have seeing The Rock and Austin in the ring together.
I would not shut up. I would just keep chanting. I'd join in the
My phone would break from all the pictures I was taking.
Just the possibility. Like, even if Hogan popped up, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would react.
You're more interested in how I think you're going to act. I'm going to go nuts, because I was a little Hulk maniac.
I would be like, but it's Rocky, so I don't care. But
I think, too, whatever you think about Hogan, to you, just as a wrestling fan, I think it's a big deal. Because this is... this was the most known wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
And that has now been surpassed by the guy we were talking about previously in Rock. Would you agree with me on that? Or is Hogan still the godfather?
I think Hogan's still the godfather.
Yeah, so it's the two biggest icons that have ever graced the wrestling ring. It's Hogan and Rock. No two of them have a bigger identity and have been bigger outside of the sport of wrestling than those two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love Austin, and Austin's the biggest draw, for sure. But he just doesn't compare to the overall outside that Hogan and Rocky have had.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could get Batista up there, too. Batista's had quite an excellent turn, but I don't think we've seen Big Dave. If we did, that'd be great. But it's not, like, see, same like, oh, Big Dave. You and I are like, oh, cool. It's not the same as The Rock.
Yeah. It's... and, like, we live in a world where it could totally not happen at all. And we
for sure, and I'm trying to... I think both of us are trying to be like, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But it's hard to not get excited just the possibility now of The Rock being there.
Hey, you know what? I'll put another thought in your head. Maybe Team Raw and Team SmackDown are fighting. Then someone comes running out of the crowd and super kicks AJ to build towards...
oh, God damn it. Well, I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, I've seen Shawn Michaels, but still, it'd be pretty freaking awesome to see that.
Oh, I... That would definitely get... you'd get booed, because he's
mm-hmm.
in Canada, and that's just what you do to Shawn Michaels.
And then you know what you do? That's a better booking decision, Joel, because then you also get more stuff with Hunter and Steph.
Yeah.
Because why did your husband's buddy, cost Team SmackDown?
Yeah.
So there's more storyline stuff in that, so way to think more rational, Joel.
Oh, I'm not going to be thinking rational at all during this whole... but let's... let's divert
back. Yeah, let's get back to...
Team Raw.
So more or less what I was saying, going back. So we'll have to see what happens to The Rock. I'm excited. I'm hoping for it. What I was saying is it's hard to decide with these two matches because the women and the tag, because you know it's going 1-1 into that men's match. And I think SmackDown men... we're still talking about that match, but I think the SmackDown men are going to win that match. So it's like, who do you have winning? And the more I think about it, I think the tag teams may win from SmackDown, and the women, because of Charlotte's streak, would win. So I'm going to change my pick, and I'm going to go with the SmackDown tag team, and I'm going to pick the... you know what really annoyed me, too, is how the Usos were so buddy-buddy with everybody, especially Chad Gable and them. That was weird. But I'm not going to nitpick right now. We've gone on. We don't have time for that. The thing is, I don't know who gets the pin for SmackDown, so I'm just going to go with American Alpha just to push them more.
Yeah.
Because, and then I have the women winning. I have Charlotte pinning Becky Lynch because they want to keep Charlotte's streak alive.
Yeah, and it's smart. It's very smart.
So you're changing your pick to the SmackDown tag team too after that, thinking about that?
Oh, I already had them on the SmackDown.
Okay, when you had New Day winning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Team Raw is winning. The New Day.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to think about it in that spectrum, right? Because I think those two matches, when you're predicting, kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because we both know it's going 1-1 into that final match. And then it's probably SmackDown. SmackDown is probably going to be down to one, and it's probably going to be AJ.
Yeah.
And James Ellsworth is probably going to do something, but then they're probably going to say Team Raw blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all, like, logical booking 101. And I think having a guy like AJ... no, Josh, it's going to be Shane that's going to pull out from the depths.
I know what Shane's going to do. Shane is going to do his big spot to Braun, because he already did. Super Shane took Braun Strowman over the ropes. Who, by the way, Braun Strowman, really, I really like the guy. I like him with those pushes. They haven't forced him down my throat too much.
Nope.
I'm really liking what I see from Braun Strowman. Just because you're limited in the ring doesn't mean anything to me. It's how you're pushed, and he's done a good job of pushing Braun.
Yeah, and I think you need big men like that, so... No issues there. We are going to get a triple. We're going to get a Shield spot for sure.
Yes, on AJ.
Yeah.
Dean's going to turn on him.
Yeah, and it's going to turn into a triple powerbomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Undertaker is going to go after Dean Ambrose for almost costing Team SmackDown.
That's cool.
It works for me.
I guess we're kind of in this kind of conundrum before we get to the big main event. So keep on going, and we'll get to the. I want to talk a little bit about the women's match too.
I think looking at it, I think, yeah, you're right. I think Team SmackDown Tag Team will win, Team Raw Women's will win, and then Team SmackDown will win the traditional Survivor Series main event. Well, not yep. The main event, but yeah.
The women, it'll be interesting to see how they get rid of Nia. Yeah. If they get rid of Nia. That'll be the interesting thing.
Died off, so...
Yeah, you still got to keep her strong, though, right?
I don't know.
Depends what your next program for Charlotte is, which I think is Becky. And not Becky, Bailey.
Yeah.
Because we know Vince isn't a big fan of Sasha right now.
Yeah.
Because it was her fault she didn't break a table, apparently.
Good old Vince.
Yeah. But no, I'm really excited for having traditional Survivor Series match. Not just as a spectator that's going to be there live, just... It gets me excited to think about all the outcomes in this and whatnot. It's going to be really exciting to see all three of these matches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, are we good in the Survivor Series matches?
Yep.
Let's talk about that main event, man.
It's going to suck, Josh.
It may actually suck. The entrances will be fun.
Yeah, the entrances will be fun, but I don't... we know how much effort our good friend Brock wants to put in, and it sounds like Goldberg's already hurt himself.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah, it sounds like his arm, he tweaked his shoulder from throwing a security guard. So.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. I almost debate that this should not be the main event.
It's still going to be.
I know it's going to be. I think you should do the Raw or SmackDown as the main event. Because then you can even book your... I'm not a fan of this idea that's going to be Brock and Shane at WrestleMania. But if you're going to do that, it makes more sense that have that match, Brock wins, and then at the end of the night, Brock comes out and destroys Shane. You show some loyalty to Raw or something.
Yeah.
That makes more sense, just booking-wise.
Yeah. But I don't think...
I don't think so either. It just makes more logical sense because I don't think you're going to send the crowd home happy because this is going to be a plunder of a match. It could be great. My expectations for this are super low. I'm just excited to see Goldberg and Brock in person. Oh, yeah. When the match starts, it's like, whatever this is whatever this is.
Yeah. It's just going to be one of those things that you're just going to be like, oh, it's there.
It's for me, and I think I can speak for you, it's like, okay, cool, I'm going to watch Goldberg come out, spit fire, do the whole thing. That's going to be cool. It'll be cool to see Brock do a suplex. But for the most part, it's just like, yeah, the entrance will be the highlight of this match.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%. You are not wrong at all.
And the question is, like, how many suplexes can Bill take?
Probably not a lot.
And the biggest question that we've been asking for the last month, will Bill Goldberg be booed? I don't think so.
No.
But it will be interesting. I think what happens is he gets cheered, awesome pop coming out, and as the match goes, Goldberg sucks chance or whatever will start.
Yeah.
I think when the match starts, when the entrances go, Goldberg is the face and Brock is the heel. When the match starts, it's reversed right away.
Yeah, I think probably how it'll probably go. We could also live in a world where people just boo Brock.
You could. I'm not going to be one of them, but yeah. Very possible.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I mean, could that be something that Rock comes out just to save that segment? Rock comes out, gives both the Rock Bottom and that's your WrestleMania match, Rock and Brock. We finally get it.
Yeah. I don't want too much plunder in it.
Well, neither do I, but this match is going to be plunder.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be.
I mean, we have how many matches on this card, Joel?
We have 6 matches.
Okay, and it's a 4-hour show. 6 matches and maybe 1 promo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that promo will go past over time, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm expecting to be there quite a long time. I mean, for us, shows and Mountain Time start at 5. The show will start at 7 o'clock.
No.
So that means 7, 8, 9. We're going to at least midnight.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to be tired.
And then we got Raw the next night, too, which is a 3-hour show. So then that goes to about 11 o'clock the next night.
Woo!
Yeah. Raw will kind of just be Joel and Josh is like, eh, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But there it is, Survivor Series week. I'm super excited. It's going to be really cool for both of us to be out there live. And like you said, we'll have 3 live pods. Raw will probably be the hardest one to do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean... knowing that Survivor Series is going to go after 12 and probably after we eat and get back to the hotel and everything. We may even not do one until mid-morning the more I think about it.
Yeah. Probably smarter.
Yeah, but I've talked way too much, Joel. Go ahead.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go to sleep and have Friday come because it means we're one day closer. This is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, as a lifelong wrestling fan, you always dream about going to these pay-per-views. Regardless about what you're going to get, you're going to get to see Shinsuke, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, Ty Dillinger, Sami Zayn.
AJ Styles. Sasha Banks, Charlotte.
Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, who was in New Japan.
Bailey.
American Alpha. The
Usos.
Drifter.
Shut the fuck up.
Carmella.
I'm excited to see Carmella. I like Carmella. Nikki Bella pop from Josh is going to be huge.
Kevin Owens, Jericho.
Why isn't Jericho not the first one we did? We get to see the gift of Jericho.
Roman Reigns. We get to chant Elite. So
I'm excited for that.
Anyone that listens to our podcast, if you're in Toronto, the minute that
we get to see Daniel Bryan.
I know. I get to see Daniel Bryan.
Which Joel finally gets to see one of his favorite wrestlers of all time.
I got to see him here in Calgary.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting about that.
He had that promo with Bret Hart and Kane, and called him just Kane.
Yeah.
We get to see Orton. You get to see Goldberg.
We don't know about Randy Orton yet.
Because
Randy has a kid being born, so we'll see.
They may have to... flying a guy from Houston that likes to dress up as a dead man.
Maybe. I have no complaints.
No, neither would I.
So, and we get to see James Ellsworth.
No chin music.
Who just signed a full-time contract. And I'm going to boo the shit out of him.
But boo Roman.
I'm booing Roman, but I'm booing the shit out of Ellsworth. I'm sick of this guy.
Delete.
So... It's gonna be a really awesome weekend. We can't wait to bring that experience to you with 3 podcasts in a row. And anything else, Joel?
Nope, I'm just ready to go and have the next day come just a little bit closer.
So for those that want to kind of follow our trip a little closer, you can follow it through my Snapchat, Jawa31. And we'll maybe post some pictures on the Instagram and the Facebook. So make sure you follow those as well. Fresh Take Network. Not Fresh Take Network. That's the other thing. One Fall. You can follow it on the One Fall podcast, Instagram, and Facebook. And, so it should be an exciting weekend. Make sure you follow us on those if you want to follow along with us. And until next time, cheers.
We're going to Survivor Series.
Enjoy the day, people.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flesh. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words is hypnotizing.